yeah. So I think the stance is manifested in the contract that universities would have with their brands under this Desmond Compliance program. You asked what that would look like in terms of what.
Well, no, I guess I was just asking when you said the university should have more power, whether that's something that they need to themselves take a stronger position on, university administration,
right,
or whether Nike and corporations should.
Right. Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to my mind, the fewer formal relationships universities have with their clothing providers, along with food providers and resource providers, the fewer formal relationships they have, the fewer commitments they have. Meaning, the more effectively and deliberately they may be able to uphold the contracts that outline their morals and principles. So, I think university administrators should take an even harder line, if that's even possible, because I don't know if they necessarily take a very hard line right now. I mean, yeah, Wisconsin, you know, was first before UW, but I mean, they took, what, 12 months, 13 months? I mean, maybe that's just the reality of the situation of communicating with, you know, a factory in Honduras. It takes that long, sure, but I don't think it really took, need to take as long as it actually did, especially in today's age. And the space that was made, for example, with Nike saying, we choose not to interpret that, and that having any kind of grounding whatsoever, or currency, it was that shouldn't happen.
And did you have communication with other student groups, with like what other student groups at Wisconsin, some other universities?
The student graduation project did, yeah. Okay. And I had like secondhand communications with them.
And do you have any? I mean, we're going to try and interview people there as well, but I just wondered from your experience, you had interaction with them, whether you believe the processes to be similarly frustrating or whether
just in general, I think they're similarly frustrating. Yeah, I mean, the system is increasingly homogenized, right? And it's increasing, and these things are happening in more and more places. A good person to talk about that would be Matt Reed or Garrett Strain. You heard Garrett Strain? Yeah, Garrett Strain. Also, how many people do you have from SLAP?
So far yourself, and then Stephanie Apple.
Yeah.
Okay, and then
Matt Reed. Garrett Strain's another good one.
Okay.
And there are two others, or three others if you really want them.
Yeah, maybe you could email me.
Sure.
We're keeping you. Other stakeholders on campus, you've talked a lot about your interaction with Axel and a little bit with President Philip. Were there any other key players on campus that you interacted with that didn't?
Because I was representative, my role was kind of supervised by the vice president at the time, so that's Madeline McKenna. I don't know if an interview is really necessary with her. Could be, but I think she would defer to me. But and then I also consulted particularly with the Phyllis Wise case, just really briefly and generally with the GPSS president, Jake Malaschini. But that was more conversations about corporations and the university in general. And who else?
Any other faculty? Students?
I mean, Angelina Godoy is critical. Possibly the most central faculty.
Could you say a little bit about what the role that she plays?
This is just one of her several life's works. And so, unfortunately, this time around, she wasn't on the committee, but she was the voice of reason. Incredibly informed in both a kind of more politically charged and an academic perspective. Her task force, I think, was really vital in the Estefel case. So she and I would just have kind of, you know, side conversations that were very, that were just key to forming my perspective. Who else? That's about it.
Okay. So I have kind of a few more questions.
Sure.
Going on a little bit longer than I anticipated. But the first is, right at the beginning, you talked about the majority of your information coming through WRC, or brought to your attention through WRC. Did that continue to be the case throughout, or were there other were there other sources that your information came from?
I mean, I also got information from just news, the AAUP, the American Association of University Professors, and then their periodical Inside Higher Ed had some reports on it. Very quickly, though, kind of, I mean, because they were on the ground, they were the reporters, and, you know, they're the recognized, they're one of the two recognized monitoring organizations, so very much, like, wherever other information I got kind of fed or channeled back into the WRC. But other than the WRC, USAS reports, what else? I mean, I read Nike's communications and their attempt at a report.
Do you have any interaction with Nike at all?
Yeah, I mean, they presented to us. And we had an opportunity to ask questions and get a sense of where they were headed a couple times. Once they came, once they actually came and spoke, and then once they we webinared.
And how did you find them when they came?
To the individuals who came, to their credit, and they're working hard, and I think they gave a fine presentation, but you know, their responsibility is to look after the bottom line and to represent what the officials are, what the official line is, and to that extent it was not satisfactory. Yeah, I guess, I mean, we also, there was a webinar that the FLA put on that I sat in on, in part. We very loosely and kind of just in real, kind of ambiguous terms, worked with the Macadelia Solidarity Network. And then the CGT, they also gave us some reports. And also, workers from the CGT came and presented to the campus.
Okay. I just wondered, since the settlement, if you've had any communications with anybody in Honduras or any of these organizations who were keeping you informed at that time, and know anything about what's happened since the settlement?
I don't, unfortunately. I graduated and I just kind of
It's been hard to get any information about that.
So yeah, well, I mean,
you're going to interview WRC and
So Scott Nova. Yeah, Matt Reed is more informed than I am.
Okay,
so
great. So my last question, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you said you were involved in the Hustlers case as well.
Yeah, and the Nike exclusive agreement.
Maybe come back.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, so maybe you could just talk briefly about what your role was in the Russell case and how the process kind of played out.
I was just a member of SLAPP, and a core member of SLAPP, and so that involved it involved two meetings with the president. It involved telecommunication with WRC. We did a lot of, we had a very effective awareness campaign. We did letter drops. We almost got to the point of a sit-in. It was kind of a shorter campaign. It lasted about 5 months, 5 or 6 months. And that was an even more clear-cut case. Would you like me to go into that?
Yeah.
So a distinction between Nike and Russell was, and this is kind of where Nike was trying to leverage their "we are not responsible for them," was that Russell owned those factories. Those were Russell factories. Those were not contracted out factories. And so whatever went in there, there was not even a chance that they could dispute, you know, their liability. So to that extent, it was a very short case. It was very clear cut. It was cut and dry. Listen, you guys are just, you're violating all sorts of laws. On Honduran International and American Muscle. So to that extent, it was an easier case. It's just a simpler case. We met with the president. He received it as we expected. He was paid a lot of lip service to, you know, I really appreciate you students taking this time. And, you know, it's only because of students that we actually do anything about this. But, you know, he waited for his camp. He basically waited for his cards to be played for him. Which is fine, because we played his cards. Yeah, so that was the Russell case.
Okay, and how did you perceive the university's response to that case?
As expected. We even got into the New York Times. So, yeah. What do you mean?
I guess just how, you talked about being frustrated with the slow...
This one was particularly fast.
Okay.
In contrast to the SFL, in contrast to the Nike one, in contrast to many others. This one in particular, and because of Russell's really just not being very strategic with themselves, owning this factory where they were doing very clear union busting.
So you felt the university to move quickly?
Relatively so. I mean, I think they were the eighth university in the country so the eighth isn't the first, right?
Yeah.
And we certainly were lobbying them to cut prior to when the first announced. So they could have moved faster, but they moved fast.
Okay.
Faster.
You were fairly happy with the...
I was satisfied.
Okay, and the outcome, how did you see the outcome?
The outcome remains to be seen, right? So the workers were rehired. No, they weren't. Were they? I don't remember. So we cut. Then I think it took like another year for that Russell to kind of just like pick up the pieces of, you know, what was it, 120 something universities cut. So that's a lot of business loss. And then Spalding cut, and the NCAA almost cut. Russell came back about a year later once I was on the committee, and proposed. They kind of just demonstrated how they were, you know, reforming their ways, and they went from a pro business to a pro union, ostensibly, company. So they're on a probationary period where we kind of outlined that. And we were like, listen, we want an itemized list, which I don't think we've received yet, an itemized list of how you are going to reform this. We don't want any lip service. We want very clear outlining, like a time schedule with, you know, bullet after bullet after bullet, and then subject. And we want it really specific. We'll see how specific it gets. Basically about how you are going to both compensate the workers for the money they're owed, and then also how you're going to reform your practices going forward. So that remains to be seen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then, so it's clear that you hope both of these cases are kind of precedent-setting in the future. I just wondered if you could say a little bit about the extent you think that they will be, if you think...
I can only speculate, but I mean, Nike's the largest and most powerful corporation, and they've been. So, the precedent isn't set so much, I don't think, in what Nike does, but in how people leverage what Nike does. To that extent, universities, like we were talking about earlier, I think should feel emboldened. They have a lot of power. Students have the final power. Students are the reason that this happens. And workers. Students and workers are the reason this happens. And to that extent, students should feel so powerful that this taking it down, because it does. I think SLAPS, or UTAS's current slogan is, all we do is win. And they do. All we do is win. So, moving forward, I think there's a lot of leverage because of what Nike did. I mean, Russell wasn't really precedent setting because it was so cut and dry. This one is precedent setting, I think, because we were able to interpret the code. We were actually able to make the code a living, active document. To that extent, I think others will be able to leverage.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you kind of preemptive my next question, which was just going to be, how important do you think the student body is in this regard than student action?
Fundamental. I don't think anyone would say otherwise.
Yeah.
But there is a tendency, I think, to give a lot of applaud students after the fact. There's a lot of resistance. I mean, in particular with the Russell case and with the Nike case, I mean, I don't know how many letters we sent to the administration notifying them of this. And citing nothing that wasn't cited after the fact. I mean, it was just willful neglect.
So, just one thing concerning senior university administration. We talked about this twice. President Amat obviously accepted the unanimous recommendation from Axel. Is there anything else you could have seen that he could have done before that? Was there any? Would you have liked to stronger stance before that, or did you think it was appropriate that he would?
Well, I don't think there should have been a committee for that. Students know what's up. We're not as naive and we're not as idealistic as they like to paint us. We have a good sense of what's possible. I mean, we're the ones who determine what's possible, really. So to that extent, the fact that he advised the committee to just channel student pressure, effective student pressure, into this kind of, cumbersome committee it's just not satisfying. If the president wants to say that he's really dedicated to justice and to workers' rights and to making sure that he is an administrator of a democratic university, the committee shouldn't have been formed. That being said, everything after that was pretty much standard.
So just on that, would you have, in the event that the committee was formed as it was, do you think there should have been greater student voice? The committee, I mean, about the rotating appointments for this last year.
I don't know how much the president really, I mean, the president appointed Steph Adler. Didn't appoint Slack. So to that extent, that was where that tension arose.
Do you know why you took the decision to her?
No, I mean, she was really veteran. More veteran than I. But I don't know that that was necessarily his policy, that Steph wouldn't be able to swap out if she had actually solicited him. Would I like to see more student representation? What was it? It was three students, two undergrads, one grad. The fact that he gave Slap a spot is certainly notable, because unlike the ACW, they're not a formal university. Well, they're a group, for sure, but they're not a formal university institution. Right? They could be. I don't think anyone really wants to see that. But they could be. But they're not right now, the way ACW is. So that extent, I think that was notable. And so in terms of student participation, that's cool. And the committee was open to the public. There could have been more. The website was not maintained nearly to the level of publicness that it could have or should have. That could just be a staffing issue, but it could also be who knows to the extent to which people are inspired. What else? Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great.
I hope it was helpful.
Yeah, is there anything else you want to say for the public record before we finish? Like anything that we didn't cover that you think should be part of this?
Yeah, let me think about that. No, I'd just like to reiterate two things. One is, to the extent that I have expertise and to the extent that my experience suggests anything, I'm a huge proponent of the Designated Suppliers Program. And secondly, any argument that puts Nike's word at equal stand, or at the brand's voice at the same equal standing with the modeling organization, should be held with as much skepticism as humanly possible. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Your time.